So having worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth, in song and prayer, having received His grace again, as we've confessed our sins and been reminded of His words of assurance, having given generously out of gratitude for God's grace, and having spent that time in prayer, we're ready to hear God's word read and proclaimed. So we continue today our Lenten journey with Jesus via the Gospel of John, and our next passage is John chapter 14, verses 18 to 31. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe. I'll not say much more to you. For the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the students to come forward if they would like, and there's a children's worship bulletin ready for you. This one is for ages 7 to 12. Today, as we think of this story that we just heard from the Gospel of John, and also as we think about the prayers of the people that we just enjoyed, I'm thinking about goodbyes. We all have to say goodbye once in a while, don't we? And saying goodbye can be one of the hardest things that we have to do, especially saying goodbye to someone we love through death. Always hard to say goodbye to a loved one. But there are many other goodbyes that we have to make in life too. I'm thinking of the goodbyes that sending a child on a mission trip, or sending a child off to college, or saying goodbye to a friend who's moving away, or maybe saying goodbye to a child who gets married. There's all kinds of ways that we have to say goodbye in life. Saying goodbye can be one of the hardest things we ever do. It strikes me that in this story, Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples, and they're saying goodbye to him. Could you imagine how hard that must have been for them? Jesus was leaving the disciples soon, heading to the cross, then ascending to heaven to be with the Father. I wonder what it was like for Jesus to say goodbye to his friends. Well, the news of Jesus' imminent death was greatly troubling to the disciples. They just didn't see this one coming. Now Jesus spends considerable time in the gospel talking about his departure, but I think they had a hard time believing it, that it was actually going to come true. I mean, Jesus had just come not too long ago, and he'd come and he'd proclaim this beautiful message that the kingdom of heaven is near, and he had healed people. He had taught the disciples and many others how to live the good life in the kingdom of God. And he had proven himself over and over to be the Messiah sent from God. And now he's leaving? This did not make sense to the disciples at all. And we can only imagine how hard it was for them to get their head wrapped around this idea of Jesus leaving them. Part of the challenge, you see, was that Jesus was the Messiah. He had proven over and over again that he was the Messiah. Most Jews, most ancient Jews believed in a Messiah, one who would come and restore the temple, who would kind of rally the troops, as it were, and take on the Romans, someone who would restore the kingdom of Israel to its former glory. But you see, the Jews believed that a Messiah was coming, but they didn't think that the Messiah would die, and especially not die on a cross, because that was a cursed death. And so it took a long time for the disciples to get their head, to wrap their head around this idea that Jesus was going to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And Jesus knew this was hard for his disciples, and so he spends considerable time comforting them. And just before this passage, he gives them these really comforting words from John 14. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Comforting words. Comforting words at any time, but especially if you're having to say goodbye to someone. Saying goodbye to someone in a time of death, grieving, or the disciples saying goodbye to Jesus. The disciples desperately needed to hear Jesus' comforting words, because they were extremely anxious. I wonder how you're feeling anxious these days. I had the privilege of attending the recent HER lecture at the LMC, sponsored by Berman University. Maybe some of you were there. A real wonderful, rare opportunity to hear the Lieutenant General, the Honorable Romeo Dallaire. Fabulous lecture, and I think a bit life-changing for those who attended. And as we listened to the general speak and tell his story about the genocide in Rwanda and also his PTSD that followed, I was reminded just how blessed we are to live in Canada. A place of abundance, a land of plenty, a nation of peace. And yet as I listened to the general talk about some of the challenges in the world that we're currently facing, the civil war in Syria, famine in Africa, thinking of our own provinces' economic and healthcare challenges, and we could add so many other things to this list, I was reminded that we live in an age of anxiety. And then we hear Mary on the video talk about this as well, right? A lot of people are anxious these days, feeling alone and isolated, feeling like they have nowhere to turn, just really burdened in their lives. And you could say that this anxiety that people feel is for good reason. As we look around our world, we see a lot of trouble. I wonder what you're feeling anxious about these days. Sometimes I feel anxious about the future. I wonder what life will be like for my kids and grandkids. Will they remain faithful to God? You know, the latest stats say that only 1 in 3 young adults are staying in the church. That's pretty disturbing. Sometimes I worry about growing older and all that entails. Losing health, ability, independence, losing parents and grandparents. It's hard to say goodbye to loved ones, as some of you well know. So I think if we're really honest, we'll admit that we're anxious about many things, and some more than others. So we can relate to the disciples because they were anxious too. And I can just imagine their stress level rising as Jesus kept talking about leaving. You know, going to the cross and then going to the Father. How could they possibly say goodbye to their Lord? They had lived with him for 3 years, had spent almost every waking moment of the day with him, learning from him how to live the good life in the kingdom of God, and now he was leaving? So Jesus speaks his comforting words to them in a time of anxiety, promising he won't leave them as orphans, but will come to them. How? Through his resurrection, and also through the Spirit. Just as most ancient Jews believed in a Messiah, most also believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in a final general resurrection that would occur at the end of time. But they had a harder time grasping that there would be a resurrection in the middle of history, namely that of the Messiah. But Jesus said he would rise again. He would die and then rise again. Now, for the last few years, Jesus talked about his relationship with God, that he and the Father are one. And he said, after my resurrection, this will all make sense to you. But meanwhile, Jesus had to go away, first to the cross and then to the Father. So he would no longer be bodily present. So how would the disciples deal with this loss? And how would they face the anxiety that would surely come? So Jesus prepares them for the future through his comforting words. He says, because I live, you also will live. In other words, take heart, he says. I'll rise again. Again, talking about the resurrection of the dead, our surprising hope as followers of Jesus. Then after his resurrection, Jesus says, I'll go to the Father. But the disciples would have to remain on earth. So in his absence, Jesus tells them how to live. And he says, when I go, you need to continue obeying my teaching. Final words for the disciples and final words for us. But difficult words. For we like to go our own way, don't we? We prefer to obey our own teaching, our own commands. So how can we obey Jesus today and always? So as we think about this idea of obeying Jesus for the rest of our life, and how we do that in a very challenging, difficult, troubling world, a world of anxiety, a world of selfishness, Jesus gives us the vision we need to move forward. The surprising hope of his own resurrection. Because I live, you also will live. And then Jesus says, I'm not just going to leave you alone. I'm going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus promises a helper, someone to help us obey his commands in his absence. It's interesting, the Greek word used here for Holy Spirit is parakletos. In English we say paraclete. And according to Bible teacher Leon Morris, there is actually no precise translation for this word, which communicates the thought of a friend at court and of helping and strengthening. But most English translations use advocate, like the NIV, or intercessor, or comforter, or helper. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates Holy Spirit. He calls him the friend. Isn't that lovely? The Holy Spirit being the friend, the one coming alongside of us, just putting his arm around us, if you like. This is the wonderful grace in the text for us today. Jesus is going away, and the disciples are grieving. They're anticipating that grief. They're anxious. Jesus is going away, and in his absence, he promises to send the friend to be with us, to walk with us, to help us as we go through life and experience the joys and troubles that we inevitably do. The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us in our trouble, and even more, reminds us of Jesus and His words, teaches us all things, so we can obey Jesus' commands now and always. And as you think about this, this is a really gracious gift. Because as we've talked about, we prefer to go our own way, don't we? And as we go our own way, we experience all kinds of trouble and sorrow and misery. But Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, the friend, to come alongside, to remind us that we're not alone, to remind us that the Father loves us dearly, we belong to God, to comfort us in our grief, to guide us in our struggles, to help us remain faithful to Jesus in His absence. And as we think about this, this is no small mission. I mean, this is an essential part of the Christian life, because we simply can't follow Jesus on our own strength, because we're going to fail. The best way, Jesus says, to show love for Him is to obey His commands. And there's no possible way that we can do that without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, sometimes I think we think that God is only and all about love, that the main thing involved in our life with God is relationship, and that's true. I think we are in an era now in the church where we focus heavily on having a relationship with God, and that's right. But what is a relationship without obedience? And I'm thinking here of our relationship with God, but also even in human relationships. Think, for example, of a human family. God places parents over children to disciple them, to raise them in the faith. A good parent loves his child deeply. And how does he show that? He shows it through that tender care that he provides for that child, that hospitality in the home, but also through teaching and discipline. God disciplines those He loves, and so do good parents. So how does a child show love to a parent? Through obedience, right? That's basically, if we could sum it up, children show love to parents through obedience. The same thing in our relationship with God. God is our Father, a primary term we use to describe Him. Jesus called God Father too. That is our primary relationship. He's Father, we're His children. How do we show our love for Him? Through obedience. And Jesus stresses this in this passage. If you love Me, you'll obey My commands. You could say, I think, love equals obedience, and obedience equals love. But as we've already discussed, we're not so good at this relationship stuff, are we? We prefer to go our own way, to obey our own commands, not Jesus' commands. So God, in His mercy, sends the Holy Spirit to help us, to remind us of His love, and having our hearts melted and moved by the Spirit, as He reminds us of Jesus' commands and His death on the cross, having our hearts melted and moved by the Spirit, we are ready to submit our lives to God and obey Christ's teaching. What a wonderful provision. And all of this, says Jesus, gives us peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." Because you see, our loving Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us obey Jesus' commands. We are not alone. We have the Helper in our lives. If you're a follower of Christ, then the Spirit lives inside of you and walks with you, the Helper, the Comforter, to help you in your life, to help you obey Christ's commands. A wonderful gift, Advocate, Counselor, Comforter, and Friend. And happily, Jesus goes before us. He lived a complete life of obedience, going to the cross, the ultimate act of obedience. And oh, how that pleased God the Father. because Jesus obeyed him in this regard. And oh, how it pleases us too, because without the cross, we would be dead in our sin, completely miserable, left alone in our anxiety. No comforter to help us. Happily, Jesus obeyed the Father and went to the cross on our behalf, and then went to be with the Father. And Jesus says, you should be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Later in John, he says, you should be glad because when I go, guess what happens? The Father sends the Holy Spirit down to be with you, to guide you in your life. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us obey Jesus' commands. If you love Jesus, you'll obey his commands. And happily, our loving Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us do just that. So, friends, whatever anxiety you're facing, whatever trouble you're encountering in your life, please know that you're not alone. Jesus, yes, he had to say goodbye to his disciples, but only so that he and we, all of us, could say hello to the Holy Spirit, the spiritual helper that we so desperately need. And so Jesus is no longer here in body. He's with the Father in heaven, ruling over his kingdom. But in his absence, he sends the Holy Spirit to abide with us, to live in us, to live with us, to be our comforter and friend, our advocate, our helper, to remind us of Jesus and all of his teachings, to help him, help us obey Christ's commands. So today we are invited to give thanks for this precious gift, but also to open our hearts to the person and work of the Spirit in our lives as we head to the cross and beyond. Come now, let us leave, Jesus says. Come now, let us worship the Lord and obey his commands through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. Let us pray.